This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. And as I always say, this program is important for all people because the principles we endorse here at DavidDuke.com are principles that are good for all people. Every race, every heritage should be allowed to preserve its own heritage, should be allowed to be free and not be subject to the will of other nations, other societies, or other peoples. We believe in these principles, and no race and no people should be hurt or harmed by any other race. And ladies and gentlemen, the people of this country, of the United States of America, the European American people, are certainly being harmed by certain policies of media and government. We are facing almost an epidemic of crime and violence against our people. Today, I want to discuss further the terrible incident, the terrible rape, torture, and murder of a young couple in Knoxville, Tennessee. And they were, of course, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. I want to compare this terrible crime with the coverage that was given, the Duke lacrosse team rape coverage over the last year. And I want to compare that coverage with what has happened in terms of the Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom case. Let's first talk about the Duke University case, which received so much publicity around the world. For more than a year, the district attorney in the area of Duke University accused members of the lacrosse team at Duke of a rape against an African-American woman. Now, the woman happened to be a stripper, a drug addict, and a prostitute. The politically minded prosecutor clearly committed the felonious crime of obstruction of justice as he hid exculpatory evidence absolving the boys on the lacrosse team of any crime. After months of scandalous news coverage and universal condemnation against the lacrosse team and Duke University and the white people and the white race in general, the charges in the case were dropped. Because this incident concerned alleged white perpetrators and an alleged black victim, the prosecutor felt he had the right to criminally obstruct justice to the point of jailing some young college men for a crime which they did not commit. The controlled media used this incident to expose alleged white racism and white hate crimes against non-whites. The Duke University lacrosse rape story grew to the point where there's hardly a person in America, Canada, Europe, or even Australia, who's not heard of the case. In literally thousands of articles, the media shamelessly brought up an anti-white race angle into the case. The chronic theme seemed to be white boys from decent families at university assault poor black woman. In a lynch mob atmosphere, 88 Duke University faculty members signed a letter calling for the punishment of the boys even before the investigation was completed. Vigilante posters picturing the lacrosse team, the entire team, not just the ones charged, appeared all over the Duke campus. Let me quote the faculty letter. "The lacrosse team may well feel that they can claim innocence and sport their disgraced jerseys on campus, safe under the cover of silent whiteness. But where is the black woman who their violence and raucous witness injured for life?" unquote. Later, after months of unjust and brutal character assassination against the lacrosse players, forensic evidence finally released, showing them completely innocent of the alleged crime. Perhaps even worse was the fact that racism was the word used in countless commentaries on the case in the press. Only problem was, none of the criminal allegations were true. As raunchy as the boys' behavior was, they did nothing violent or illegal, and their actions were not one whit more disgusting than the behavior of the supposed victim. Even the district attorney had to eventually admit that fact. About a year after the incident, on March 24, 2007, in America's most prestigious newspaper, the New York Times, Selena Roberts wrote an article titled, "Closing a Case Will Not Mean Closure at Duke." And in that article, she admits that members of the Duke lacrosse team were wronged by false charges and that the prosecuting attorney may have been guilty of purposefully prosecuting innocent people. But that doesn't stop her from wailing against Duke University and that whites in general are still guilty, according to her, of racism. Here's a quote from her article. "Don't mess with Duke, though. To shine a light on its integrity has been treated by the irrational mighty as a threat to white privilege. No one would want an innocent Duke player wronged or ruined by false charges, and that may have occurred on Nifong's watch, but the alleged crime and the culture are mutually exclusive," unquote. Roberts is, of course, the real racist. She has no ability to see the racism of prosecuting white people unjustly, withholding exculpatory evidence, and ruining the lives of white students simply because they are white and the alleged victim is black. Now let's contrast the coverage of the Duke lacrosse non-existent rape with the actual rape, torture, and murder of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. Shannon and Christopher were in love and pursuing their education at the University of Tennessee. Their only crime was that they had a car that the assailants wanted, and that these assailants hated white people enough to commit heinous acts of torture and murder against them. The horrendous crimes against this young white couple are forensically proven. They include: Shannon Christian was tortured and repeatedly raped for a period of 2 days by 5 black assailants, including a black woman. While still alive, Shannon's breasts were cut from her body. The black assailants poured toxic cleaning fluid down her throat to destroy DNA evidence. Shannon's boyfriend, Christopher Newsom, was tortured and forced to watch the rape and torture of the girl he loved, Shannon. While still alive, the assailants cut off Christopher Newsom's penis. Christopher was shot, bound, and his body wrapped up in bedding and set afire. Shannon's disfigured corpse was dumped into a trash can. My friends, these crimes were real. They are proven by forensic evidence and the confessions of the assailants. Now contrast the coverage of the real-life rape, torture, and murder of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom with that of the alleged 30-minute rape of black stripper at a Duke University party. A year after the alleged Duke lacrosse rape, which has proven to be a lie, the New York Times still is assailing the racism at Duke University, and there are currently, as of this writing, on Easter Sunday, April the 8th, the following media stories of the fake Duke rape incident and the real Christian Newsom rape and murders. Let me recount them for you. Listen carefully. A Google News search of Duke rape finds a total of 1,031 current articles on the Duke rape issue, many of them by major news media. But a Google search of Shannon Christian finds a total of only 3 current articles, none of them by major media. A Google search of the entire web with Duke rape finds a total of 1,170,000 citations. Most of them are overwhelmingly comprised of major media. A Google search of the web with Shannon Christian finds a total of only 24,000, almost none in major media. Now, don't for 1 minute think that the Christian Newsom case is some rare exception. There have been thousands of white women raped, tortured, and murdered by black assailants in the last decade alone. And many of their assailants have been proven to have displayed racial hatred during the commission of their crimes. Many black serial rapists specifically targeted white women for their crimes. Gangster rap has lyrics and video explicitly calling for hate and murder of white people, and much of that gangster rap is published by major record labels. Why am I the only nationally known figure who has even dared to mention this horrific hate crime and the racist anti-white double standard that exists in the control media? I am called a racist for simply exposing intolerable numbers of interracial violent crime against white people. There has even been major national conferences by mainstream organizations seeking to reduce the, quote, black-on-black crime rate, unquote. It's as if black crimes against white people, such as the Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom case, it's as if they don't really matter. Only black-on-black crimes do. Make another Google search. This time, take a look at white hate crimes, and then do one for black hate crimes. There are less than half the number of articles on black hate crimes, although blacks attack white people at least 3,000% more than whites attack blacks. Now please, let that fact sink in. That's not a 30 or 40% higher rate of attacks of blacks against whites than whites against blacks. That would be bad enough, 30 or 40% higher. It's not even 300% higher. But the rate of black physical violent attacks against whites is at a 3,000% higher rate than the reverse. I am not a racist. I don't hate any race as a group, and I don't want to suppress or harm anyone. But the fact is that I love my people and my family, and I don't want them to fall victims of pervasive black criminality. And that fact, that I want my family to be safe and my people to be safe and sound, does not make me a racist. It makes me a realist. I am a realist who sees reality rather than the propagated lies of the mass media. Lies that attempt to make us think that blacks are chronic victims of white hate crimes rather than the other way around. The fact that I know that my 2 daughters are in far more danger of being hurt in an average black school or black neighborhood doesn't make me a racist. It makes me a concerned father who doesn't want his daughters subject to a greater danger of enduring a horrible fate like that of Shannon Christian. The media and political establishment constantly tell European Americans about the terrible wrongs of historical segregation. They tell us how that those policies hurt the feelings of black people. By simply having blacks having their own schools and their own neighborhoods instead of integrated ones. So, in that vein, they forcibly integrated our schools and neighborhoods. And what's been the result of it all? It is not just some hurt feelings anymore, my friends. It is tens of thousands of white victims of non-white racism and violence. We are talking here about tens of thousands of white people who now fall victim of black violence and brutality each year as a result of the policies of forced integration. We're talking about real human suffering, physical beatings, robbery, rape, and murder. How does that stark human cost, this violation of the most basic of human rights, the right to be safe and sound and not be a victim of horrible crimes, how does that right stack up to the supposed evil of segregation? I am not an advocate of forced segregation and certainly not of forced integration. People should have the freedom to live and associate with whom they desire. People should have the right not to have their child be forced into a school where the child has at least 1,000% more chance of being harmed. That's the most natural thing on earth. And any parent who would intentionally send their child into a school where he or she would have a 10 times greater chance of being attacked and hurt is not a good parent, period. No truly caring white parents want their children to be sent into an overwhelmingly black school where drugs and violence and filthy language and academic inferiority and the evil of gangster rap and gangster rap culture is far more prevalent than in the white schools. Again, to state these facts is not racism. It is reality. No one can deny the realities of those schools, and no one actually does deny it. The anti-white crowd just blames every terrible condition of those overwhelmingly black schools on, quote, white racism. But all that does not change the fact of the fate of white children sent into those hellholes. The humanity of the white children, their welfare, and their well-being are never taken into account. The media speaks incessantly about black victims of white criminality. For 9 years, we have heard constantly about the dragging death in Jasper, Texas, of the habitual black criminal James Byrd. All people, including me, condemn brutality by anyone against anyone. But when crime figures reveal that proportionately more than 100 white women are raped by black men to only one black female raped by whites, why is that not an issue? If the figures were reversed, would not the issue be discussed in national media? You and I know the answer to that question. There would be mass marches in the streets to protest the racism and inhumanity of the high numbers of rapes of whites against black women. There would be documentaries, protests, books, articles, commissions, and a raft of public combinations from city councilmen to president and from local clergymen to the Pope. In discussion of so-called hate crimes, always the example is given of white crimes against blacks, yet even in our own hate crime statistics, which, by the way, are skewed and don't truly reflect the hate crimes against whites, even in their own figures, blacks commit hate crimes twice as often, sometimes 3 times as often as whites, and yet every time an example is given, it is of a white person committing a crime against blacks. There are frequent articles, books, and documentaries about historical lynchings against black people. something that's non-existent today. Every decent white person condemns lynching, as do I in the most forceful of manner. The process of law and justice should always be applied in every case. The accused should always be accorded constitutional rights and due process. Yet the blatant fact is that in the last 100 years, there were less than 1,000 lynchings, with practically none of them occurring in the last 30 years. Now compare that fact to the current reality of tens of thousands of white people falling victim to black violent crime each and every year. You can check out the indisputable facts on this issue in the Color of Crime report, and there are links on my website to that report. It's compiled from official government figures on crime, and it's easy to take those figures and determine the numbers of interracial crimes of violence that are being committed, who's committing those crimes, and who the victims are of those crimes. It should be understood also that the white victims of rape and murder, as compared to the lynch victims, these people are completely innocent people. While frankly, most of the lynch victims were in fact guilty of terrible crimes against the innocent. No one can excuse lynching of alleged black criminals or any other criminal, and all decent people do condemn it. But no one can excuse the rape, robbery, beating, and murder of white people either. And it should be remembered that most of the white victims are completely innocent women, children, and the elderly who've never been accused of any crime against anyone. As shocking as it may sound, more innocent white people are killed each and every year than all the black people who were lynched in the last 100 years. The media tells us that it's the height of moral compassion, justice, and love to be outraged at the murder of a black person at the hands of whites. But the same media tells us that if we are outraged at an epidemic number of rapes and murders of white people by blacks, then we are, quote, racist. Next time that someone tells you about the racism that exists in our society against black people, educate them on the facts of the Duke LaCrosse story and the Newsom Christian rape, torture, and murder. In plain truth, European Americans are losing our country. Our people are enduring horrendous crimes. Our people are victims of massive hate propaganda. Our heritage is being wiped away. Our traditions are being befouled. Our morals are being eroded by an alien Hollywood establishment. Our hard-earned dollars are losing their value. Our borders are being invaded. Our people are being outnumbered, and we suffer the loss of our own homeland, while at the same time government and media send off our young people to fight and die overseas for Israel. We at DavidDuke.com stand for the right of all people to preserve their heritage and for all people to be free. We endorse these principles for every race, every heritage, every nation, every people on earth, and insist that these human rights are also accorded to our own people. We will not sit idly by while we lose what so many of our forefathers sacrificed their blood, their sweat, their lives to attain. They gave us their sacrifice for their freedom and heritage and for ours. We have no higher purpose at this critical moment in the long history of our people than to give our lives, our work, our effort to the very cause of our people's survival upon this planet and in this nation that our forefathers built. To this end, we dedicate our lives. Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom will not be forgotten. This is David Duke, and I appreciate very much your support and your help. And you're listening to these broadcasts and your efforts for our cause. I urge you to get involved. As you know, we're in the last few days of our fundraising right now to reprint my books, Jewish Supremacism and My Awakening, books that have been pivotal in the awakening of our people all over the world to the truths that face our heritage. Truths we must know to win our own survival and our own freedom. We're far from our targets, far from the money we need to reprint both books. I really hope that all of you listening who've not donated yet will take a moment and go to the donations page on this website and help this effort to get this book, both these books, in fact, back into print in the English language and out to educate the men and women of our heritage who need to wake up to the critical issues facing us, issues for our heritage and our freedom. Thanks so much for being with me. I look forward to being with you again very soon. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast.